Welcome, wombat folk and trolls, sorcerers and orcs, to Rated RPG, the fantasy role-playing podcast where we toss dice and have fun adventures with our friends. This is the Valley of Green Gold, episode 56. In our last episode, the Whoop Whoop troop reveled in the afterglow of a hard-won battle against a couple of fungus-infused Tag Pub 7s. They seemed to be responsible for the ongoing construction of the tower, as if they were simply following the relics of their construct programming. You guys proceeded up the fog-shrouded Wizard's Tower, where Clubhead found a clue, a journal tucked away in a crack in the wall of the tower. In it, the unknown author said they found the body of the Wizard Maddox in his study, which they found behind a secret door in the entry chamber on the tower's ground floor. The author said that their party had become enveloped in darkness and was attacked by relentless small creatures, and that none of them but the author survived that encounter. There were also some sketches in that journal of some mushrooms, the puffballs that infused the tag pups, the little red, jerk mushrooms that called themselves Fritz, and a clump of small blue toadstools that were unfamiliar to Clubhead and the rest of the party. You guys took your time, you ascended to the top of the tower, and although you found no other enemies, you did find an old satchel, and in it, a very old copy of the Merchant Harbor Gazette. And you got some rolls on the table of potentially decent random stuff. Silbeth got back on that horse. Brad, do you remember what she got?
I think, if I remember right, I got what looks like half of a treasure map?
Yeah. Dion, what did Bunny find?
I have in my notes, I got a dead perch, right?
Yeah, and Wendell even cast Identify on it, and it's just a dead fish. There's nothing else to it. And Emery.
I remember what I got. I got a baby goat named Goatsy.
Yeah, he's so tiny, he fits in your pocket. That's how small Goatsy is. So you guys are able to get back down to the plateau halfway down the tower. And enough time has passed that it probably makes sense if you wanted to take a long rest, just to be ready to descend to the bottom of the tower, you can do that now.
Yeah, certainly can't hurt.
Who is on watch?
I don't sleep, so I'm always on watch.
That's right. You guys all kind of nuzzle in and curl up. Maybe Wendell curls up with his book, his spell book, to study some spells.
Oh, yes. As always.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we'll start with Wendell. He seems like he'd be the first one to fall asleep.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a blanket or anything. He's got fur and he can, kind of use poop cubes to keep himself warm if he needs to.
So as Wendell closes his eyes and drifts off to sleep, you dream of home, Wendell. That cozy wombat den where you grew up with your parents. It's beautiful, just like you remember it when you were a wee little wombat. You dream of your soft, loving mother and your cold, disassociated father. You dream of your dopey brother and your sister, Wendigo, who I don't know ever really made an appearance in the podcast. But in your dream, Wendell, your parents fade away and your siblings chase you with pitchforks.
Why?
And as your wombat legs run as fast as they can, your dream shifts. You dream of your captivity, endlessly creating spell scrolls for a vile man named Thimlamir. And you toss and you turn in your dream. You dream about your escape. What was that guy, that big brute who was trying to get you back in your cage?
Ah, the man on the stairs.
Donk. And then Wendell's mind swirls with delight, because when you broke out of your captivity, you took something. You stole something from Siblamir. What was it?
Bunch of spells, a spell book.
His entire spell book.
Yes.
Then your dream grows dark.
Ooh.
And you hear the ticking of a clock. And from the darkness, two paths emerge in front of Wendell. One is dimly lit. There's Batima. She's standing in her kitchen. She's making something. And Wendell is sitting in a comfortable chair. But you're different, Wendell. Your fur is gray, almost white. Your eyesight is blurry. And Batima brings you a cup of tea and a muffin. She smiles at you and takes your little wombat hand in hers, and you smile at her, and you close your eyes as the ticking of the clock slows, and you fade away into a forever slumber. And then you get a look at the other path. This path is dark and damp. It's a stone corridor descending in front of you. You're carrying the Rod of Undying, but it's as if it's a cane. You're leaning on it because your body aches with the pains of age, and your fur is patchy and mostly gray. Your joints are swollen and your eyesight is blurry. In front of you, the familiar forms of Silbeth and Bunny DePayne shuffle slowly, moaning softly as they lead the way. They are undead, and as you look around, Clubhead is nowhere to be seen. Suddenly, the rod pulses with purple waves of light, necrotic energy. The rod guides you deeper as the light intensifies, and the corridor opens into a vast chamber full of dimly growing crystals, and in the center of the chamber, a pool of pale blue water shimmers. The water's surface ripples as it forms into a vaguely humanoid figure. You blast it with the rod, and it recoils in agony. It screams out in pain. Wendell, it's your mother. Wait, no, it's Batima. No, it's Clubhead. No, it's Silbeth. No, it's Bunny. And then the crystal at the end of the rod explodes. And you realize the figure standing in the pool is you, Wendell. You've absorbed all of the energy from the explosion. And as you die, you fall beneath the surface of the water, and the patchwork hat upon your head disappears. But as you vanquish the form of yourself, you look at your reflection in the water and see that your eyes are glowing that same dim blue, and you are young again and very, very powerful. And that is your dream. Now, Bunny, you fall asleep, and in your slumber, you dream of being in the ring once more. You're in a familiar stadium, the King's Championship. You're covered in sweat and blood. A faceless foe in red robes leaps from the top turnbuckle, slamming their elbow into the top of your head, and you collapse to the mat. The form pounces on top of you. And as they try to pin you for the win, they whisper to you, I did it, Bunny. I set the tiger loose. The voice is very familiar. It's your former partner, Mini Ripper, and he's about to win. Just then, you see a flash of orange as a furry body clad in a jumpsuit hurls through the air, and you hear it shout, whoop whoop, as it slams into Mini Ripper, turning him into dust. It's Wendell, and Silbeth is there too. She helps you up, saying, great job, Bunny, you saved us all. And Clubhead jumps in as the referee, lifting your arm in victory. Then, somebody wraps a jewel-encrusted gold belt around your waist. It's Paracone. You look out into the crowd. It's cheering. This crowd's going insane. Your mother, your father, your brother are all there in the front row. And there's Paracone next to you with his arm around you, patting you on the back. He's wearing his scale mail vest and his fancy hat with the big feather on it. He says, what a show, Bunny. What a show. The crowd chants, Paracone, 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 as you all pump your fists in the air. And that's your dream. Silbeth, you are exhausted. Despite having had a long rest since your curse came to an end, you feel like you could sleep for a week. It was very tiring to have a curse and then all of those wild magic surges. Plus, you need to rest and sleep in order to get your spells. Like a warlock, right? A warlock has a patron that provides their power. Your spells come to you in your dreams. And tonight, you dream once more. But this dream is different. It begins in darkness. The dim twinkle of distant stars appear. Brighter lights, flickering like flame, grow closer, and smoke swirls around them. Larger bodies of stone, like primordial planets, come into view, and among these stones, a vast serpent writhes and twists through the ether. Suddenly, you find yourself standing on firm ground. Dull gray rock, featureless, surrounds you. The serpent that you saw earlier is now sitting coiled, surrounded by bipedal snake-like creatures that vaguely resemble the Ophidians that you are familiar with. But they are not happy. They are wailing and crying out in agony, as they collapse one by one. The serpent wails in sorrow over its lost children, and a deluge of tears pour down the snake's body, forming vast rivers in the rock. The snake slithers across the surface of the stone, and everywhere it goes, trees and animals spring up from the ground. This is familiar lore from the Ophidian creation story. The serpent Nayoko Monene creates a massive jungle, and in it creates Ophidians. And they are smiling, and they are laughing. This is very strange for Ophidians. And then suddenly, they are all somber and emotionless, and Nayoko Monene is gone. The sights and sounds suddenly swirl, as if you're being ripped away from this scene, and you find yourself in a bustling tavern, full of all different types of creatures and beings. And at a small table, right next to you, sits Perricone, and he has a small sack in front of him. He hands it to you.
I will take it.
What do you do with it?
What's in it?
He says, open it, Silbeth. It's for you.
Okay. I open it up.
A loud, powerful fart emanates from the bag, blowing your hair back. And Perricone cackles, nearly falling off of his chair. Ha ha, that was a good one. Come on, Silbeth. There's great joy in laughter. You should lighten up. And then everything fades away. Now, you guys are all having your dreams kind of simultaneously while Clubhead is keeping watch. But honestly, there's not much to watch. The fog that has persisted at the top of the tower for years and years is now starting to dissipate, because in the hours after the defeat of the Tag Pubs, it seems as though whatever magic was causing the fog cloud has stopped. And Clubhead, you gaze up at the apathetic void of space, and you're struck by the unlikeliness of your very existence. You look at your body, and you look at how slowly it is becoming more and more fungal. You are less and less of a construct every day. And as you think about how you got here, you remember that you were created by an artificer named Gibble Tinkertop, the CEO of Thule Industries, and he created you to work in the mines, to work for the Flark Mining Collective.
Yeah.
But you didn't work out.
No.
In fact, he thought you were a failure.
Yeah.
He sold you into servitude to the horrible human beings who abused you and put you to work in the sewers. And you tried your best to serve them as your programming dictated, but in the end, you were betrayed by them time and time again, and you died in the sewers. You were reborn more than you could have ever hoped to become. You are a powerful entity, a colony of fungus, and your goal of spreading your family throughout Crow Island persists with you. It's instinctual. You've been doing it everywhere you've traveled so far. But as you look at the softly slumbering forms of Wendell, Silbeth, and Bunny, you realize that they are your family, such as they are. And then Clubhead sees something small moving by the doorway.
Ooh. I stand up and start sneaking over to whatever it is.
You see that it's moving toward you. It is a mouse.
Ooh, a mouse.
It approaches you.
Hmm. Hey, mousey, I whisper, trying not to wake up my friends.
It squeaks at you. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Do you want something, little mouse? Maybe some food?
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Hmm. I don't want it to wake up my friends. I reach for my staff, slowly. I grab my staff and I slowly raise it above my head.
The mouse squeaks at you. Squeak, squeak, squeak. And walks up to your foot and puts a paw on your foot and taps your foot.
Wow, you really are a smart mouse. I lower the staff and I reach my hand down to my foot, see if it wants to climb on top of my hand.
It climbs up on your hand. Give me an animal handling check, by the way.
I only got a 7. You guys like how I almost just smashed that mouse?
What kind of druid are you?
I know, right? The worst kind of druid.
Yeah.
Tracks.
The mouse crawls up into your hand, like sits up on its hind legs and squeaks at you. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
If only I had a spell to speak with animals.
But I don't, unfortunately.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Do you want to show me something, little mouse?
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
I'll start walking towards where it came from.
Came through the doorway that, leads to the stairs that lead you downstairs.
All right. I'll start walking that way, and I'll hold my hand out, outstretched, and sort of point it in that direction.
Do you want me to go there, buddy?
It sort of nods its head in that direction.
With my other hand, I pull my tiny little baby goat out.
What do you think, Goatsy?
And I have one in each hand.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
I put Goatsy on my left shoulder and the mouse on my right shoulder, and I begin walking in the direction that the mouse was pointing.
Squeak, 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 squeak. They continue to lead you down the stairs.
Down the stairs? Ooh. Are we going on a little nighttime adventure? I guess so.
I'll start walking down the stairs.
Everybody else, give me a perception check with disadvantage because you're sleeping.
I still got a 15.
Nice.
11.
Ooh, a natural one.
Okay.
Wendell's very soundly asleep.
You got a 1 and a 2. That's amazing.
Yep. Got those out of the way.
Unfortunately, none of you wake up as Clubhead wanders away from his watch duty following a mouse that he found. Or found him. You get to the bottom of the stairs and the mouse does seem to want you to continue.
All right, buddy. Which way?
I'll point my finger out in front of me and start kind of rotating it and see if it alerts me when to stop.
It alerts you when you start pointing in the direction of the top of the ramp that you guys came up.
Okay.
Give me a perception check.
22.
You notice a few things. First of all, the trap that had all the falling rocks that hit Croaky.
Yeah.
That trap has not been reset or anything. It's still up there in the ceiling. But at the bottom of the ramp, those double doors are closed.
Okay.
You guys had left them open, and yeah, it's true, the tag pub that you threw off the cliff, he did come up the stairs, but the doors are closed, for what it's worth.
Weird. I wonder if that tag pub closed the doors behind him as he was returning to battle. That seems a little odd.
I don't have anywhere to go other than, back up or to the closed door.
Right.
Okay. Do I remember if it was easy to open the door?
Were those the doors that Silbeth used her key that she found on one of the zombies?
Yes. I think that's where I used them. Yeah.
If they are locked, they're locked from the other side.
Interesting. Well, I'll go and test and see if the door is unlocked. Was there, a boulder trap or something before?
Yeah, the boulder trap that was in the middle of the ramp, that's where the trigger panel was. That's obviously not going to get you this time, yeah. But...
Okay, well, I think I would be sneaking this whole time, if anything, to not wake up my friends.
Yeah, give me a stealth check.
Oh, I got an 8! So there's that. Maybe the tiny goat on my shoulder is making it hard to be quiet.
I think you're right, yeah. So as you were leaving your friends, you didn't have the goat out, and the mouse was squeaking quietly, and you were being quiet. You were whispering. So, yeah, once you got on the stairs, you took the goat out, and the goat is doing that thing, and it's pretty loud. It's echoing off the stone walls of this corridor. You get to the bottom, and there you are at the doors.
All right, I will, push or pull on the handles.
You open the door easily, and as you open the door, give me a perception check.
Sure. 20.
All right. What you see as you open those doors, this circular room, the entrance room of the tower that was once empty, is no longer empty. There are 6 undead that are standing motionless throughout the room as if waiting for a command. They are each armed. There's a skeletal turtle with a great axe, a skeletal turtle with a great club, and a zombie turtle with a great axe. You might presume these are all versions previously deceased of Skull the Barbarian. But then there's a zombie dwarf in full plate armor with a mace. You don't recognize him off the bat. There's a ghost of a satyr and you don't recognize that creature at all. And you also see another zombie that you do recognize. The sixth undead is a zombie, but it is also Nikita Blade, and she is armed with a bow. Roll initiative.
Oh, dear. That was a bad stealth check to fail. Tell you what.
Yeah.
And that is episode 56 of The Valley of Green Gold. If you're thinking, that seemed like a short episode, Jason, you're not wrong. I think it's our shortest one yet. When I was editing episode 55 and 56, initially it was going to be one episode, and the dream sequences were taking a little bit more time to produce because they're more involved. So I decided to split them into two shorter episodes, get them to you less than a week apart. I hope that's okay. Elizabeth Parcells is back in the audio transmutation chamber to produce our next episode, and even though I know what happens, I'm really looking forward to hearing it. I think you're going to love it. What We Do in the Shadowfell, our monthly rated RPG live stream happens on Tuesday, April 30th. If you missed either episode one or episode two of those live streams, I just uploaded them to patreon.com/ratedRPG, and you can join our Patreon for free and get access to stuff like that and the table of potentially decent random stuff, which we'll post tomorrow on our Patreon. You can also get access to our Discord if you join any paid tier on our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/ratedRPG. Be like the wonderful folks who provide us with rations and adventuring gear, Sean Henry, Mick and Addy, and our Dungeon Master for What We Do in the Shadowfell, Nick from Five Entertainment. Thank you to our gorgeous Phoenix Brigade tier as well. Members in good standing include Random.Guy and Alex Schirmerhorn. You guys have been with us from like day one. Thank you so much, and all hail the GPB. Thank you to our Dukes, the Wizard Weary, and Turtle and Crow. You guys make a huge difference, not only in supporting Rated RPG, but you're the reason Clubhead has a tiny goat and Bunny DePayne has a dead fish now. So thank you. Our Merchant Harbor Gazette supporters make a huge difference too. You can join the $25 or $50 or even $100 tier, and you do that for 3 months, you get a t-shirt designed by the incomparable Tony Mayer. It's the only way you can get that Rated RPG t-shirt. So go to patreon.com/ratedRPG and take a look. In the history of Crow Island, there are dozens of heroic adventurers and wise sages who have made a positive impact on the people here. And then there's Velociraptor and Jedi. Honestly, I have no idea what motivates them, and I'm beginning to think they like being in the bucket of friends. Last week, they were short on coin and wanted to hit the tavern. And so they decided to go get some coin from Mossass, the potion brewing goblin who lives in the swamps. He pays people to try his potions, you know, like pharmaceutical testing, but way more dangerous. Well, Jedi drank a potion of bone enlargement, which sounds kind of fun on the surface until you realize it's just bone enlargement. Your bones triple in size, not your muscles, not your skin. So there, that's what happened to him. And Velociraptor drank a potion called Kaboom, which I don't have to explain. It's Kaboom. Anyway, Mossass knows what those potions do. He's very grateful. Here's to science. But Jedi and Velociraptor are back in the bucket of friends. If you would like to have horrible things befall you in the Valley of Green Gold, join the Bucket of Friends tier on Patreon and you will get your wish. On behalf of everyone around Ye Olde Gaming Table, thank you for enjoying the Rated RPG podcast.